Heavenly Father, would you bless the words that I speak? Would Jesus Christ be glorified and the Holy Spirit be at work in our hearts and in our minds? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this year, my older brother James finally got engaged to his long-term girlfriend. And I like to think my incessant nagging for over 5 years had something to do with that. Of course, the wedding is not till May, so there's still time for her to discover the real James before I reveal all his dirty secrets at the best man's speech when it's already too late. For example, once upon a time, my brother James... Actually, let's not go there in church. I'll leave that one for the wedding. Well, 2,000 years ago, it was rather different. You see, getting betrothed, getting engaged, was not just a friendly agreement over an overpriced diamond ring, but actually a legal contract in itself and sacred, just like marriage itself. And the engagement would last for about a year, and the lucky couple would not live together, and there would be no hanky-panky allowed at all. So getting pregnant during this engagement, well, that was a problem, a legal problem. It was adultery, meaning usually a very public court case for everyone in the town square, with the adulterer being punished. So when Joseph, a righteous and religious man, finds that Mary, his betrothed, is pregnant before their marriage, he wonders what to do. Justice demands a public trial and punishment, but mercy called for a private divorce before just two witnesses. And he opted for the latter. He'd been coming to terms with this plan of action in his head for a while. Isn't it funny, though, how God often leaves us to make all our plans before showing us they're wrong and there's a better way forward? After 4 years of ministry in Saltburn by the Sea, I planned to go on and run my own church to the glory of God. But I ended up spending 2.5 years living with my parents, supporting and caring for them and their household. And at first, to be honest, I resented this unplanned break from ministry in the church. But God has shown me, despite the darkness and shame and depression I at times felt, that his plan was for this to take place. That it was a good plan, a righteous plan, a better plan, a plan that brought me here tonight. And so it was in an even greater way that God showed Joseph a better plan than to divorce his wife-to-be. He showed him that the child of his bride-to-be was not from adultery. She hadn't been cheating, but this was God himself come down. That this pregnancy was the moment that all of human history had been building towards. The one upon which all human hope had been set. It had been God's plan from before the world was even made. And Joseph was to get on board with God's plan and play his part. And so we find an angel, a messenger, warrior of God, coming to Joseph in verses 20 to 23. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Tonight, I want to speak to you about two names, the name of Jesus and the name of Emmanuel. Now, I love Bible names. I often say that when, God willing, I have my own children, I will name them after people in the Bible. Great names like Zephaniah or Habakkuk or even Mahashalalhashbaz. Write that down on your exam paper when you're in primary school. Awesome names for the little ones as they run around. But to us today, they're basically meaningless. Even my relatively boring Bible name, Adam, doesn't really mean anything in English. Not so with names like Joy or Grace or Hope or Charity or Ransom or Summer. They still have some meaning. They express something. They tell a story in our own language. Of course, in Hebrew, that name Zephaniah, it means the Lord has protected. Habakkuk means wrestler or embracer. And Mahashalalhashbaz means hurry to the plunder, which is a great name for a pirate baby. And then you can say it in a pirate accent, aha, Mahashalalhashbaz, come to me plunder, kind of thing. I get carried away with baby names. And my name, Adam, it simply means human. It's like calling your dog, dog. It's not very imaginative, is it? Says the person who called his dog, Dogger. But Jesus, what about Jesus? What does Jesus mean? Well, Jesus means God saves. God saves. What a beautiful name. What a powerful name. God saves. It's basically the whole Christian message, the gospel, the good news, crammed into one name. God saves. And deep down, don't we all recognize that we need saving in some way from something? Maybe we feel that we need saving by a strong and trustworthy politician who'll either take us out of Europe or keep us in Europe or increase government spending or cut down on taxes so there's more money in our bank accounts at Christmas, because mine's very empty at the moment. Or maybe we feel we need a strong military to save us from the threat and fear of Russia or radical Islam or some eco-warrior with a drone over Gatwick Airport. Seriously, surely we have a technology to take down a drone. Air defense missile systems at all UK airports. Vote Adam 2021. Or maybe you actually just feel a bit lost in life and you need a job to save you from an aimless existence, or a hobby and a purpose to save you from boredom in retirement. Maybe you're lonely and actually you need a family and friends to save you from depression, or a sports car to save you from... Actually, I don't know why I needed a sports car, but what can I say? Let's move on. Whether it's politics or a job or family or money or possessions, we all crave, naturally and instinctually, something to give us meaning and purpose, joy and hope and peace, to save us from unhappiness, unease, a lostness, which I'm sure we've all experienced in our lives. But you can have a big, loving family. You can have a nice house. You can have a strong government, success, fortune, fame, even a sports car, and still be, at the end of the day, left craving more, left empty. Why? Why? Because these functional saviors that we try to get to save us cannot save us. The Jews in Jesus' day, they wanted a Winston Churchill to come along and saved them from their Nazis, the pagan Roman Empire. They wanted a Thor or Captain America to kill their Thanos, the Roman Emperor who demanded that he, a mere mortal, be worshipped as a god. But what does any of that, or wealth, or family, or friends, or fame, or fortune matter if you don't have the God who created you? What does it matter if you don't know him and therefore don't have eternal life? What does all of that matter if you don't believe in God and therefore instead of when we die, which we all will, instead of going to heaven where there is eternal joy and pleasure and paradise and peace, we go to hell for pain and punishment and loneliness? What does all of that stuff we've just spoken about, that worldly stuff, matter? What matters at Christmas, of all times of year, is the name Jesus. God tells us in Acts chapter 4, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Jesus Christ himself would say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What matters at Christmas, for all the other things, is our relationship with God. But sin, as we just sang in that carol, sin separates us from a holy God. Verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from what? Their sins. Jesus comes at Christmas to save us from sin, from the darkness in our hearts and the shame we carry on our shoulders that bends us down and weighs us down through life, from those nasty thoughts that we all have and think, from the stupid and bad things that we do, from all the failure of failing to do what God commands us. We all need Jesus. I need Jesus. Bishops need Jesus, because we all sin. And yet we all want eternal life in paradise. But that raises a question. How does the man named Jesus, God saves, actually save us from our sin? Well, it's not like the mighty Thor with a hammer made from a neutron star, as awesome as that may sound, or Captain America with a shield, or Zeus with a lightning bolt. Verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God saves us by becoming one of us, by knowing our pain, our weakness, our suffering, our struggles, by living a life just like you and me, with one difference. He never sins. He always has that perfect relationship with the Father, that perfect life that we need if we want to be close to God for all time. And not just does he become like us in life, he becomes like us in death. Jesus came, the reason for the season is that we go from a manger to the grave and the cross. And on the cross is where something miraculous happens. When we come to believe in Jesus and believe in him as Lord and God and Savior, all that sin and all that darkness and all that shame that weighs us down, that leaves us craving for more in life, well, Jesus takes it all. And he dies and it dies with him. And in return for our faith, he gives us perfection, righteousness, holiness, a relationship with God that cannot be broken, the right to be called children of God himself. That's what Christmas leads to. Christmas always leads to the cross. And that's what Emmanuel really means. God saves by being with us. So this Christmas, whether you're already feeling a hole in your heart and Christmas is a hard time and you're starving for something more, or whether you're already a Christian and Christmas is a wonderful time of year, but then when it's all said and done and the family have gone and the chocolate has been eaten and you've made yourself quite sick from eating it all, and there's all the stress and struggle that you've been through and you're just tired and you've got to go back to work, and you ask, did this Christmas bring me lasting happiness and meaning and purpose and real joy and peace? That's when we can say, there's a name above all names, Jesus. And it means God saves. It means that if you're a Christian and you hear that name, then you should smile, because you know that God loves you and has saved you. And if you're not, you can embrace the name of Jesus at Christmas and receive the true gift, which never stops giving, that satisfies us for all time, that fills that hole and gives us eternal peace and joy. Salvation from the one who saves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Christmas is such a wonderful time, because it's a time when we remember that you loved us so much that you came down to earth to become one of us, to become God with us, and that your name was Jesus, because you, God, can save us. You can change us. You can give us meaning and purpose. Lord, would you do that for each one of us this night? Whether we know you already and we just need to see your beauty and power again, or we're coming to you for the first time with our hands empty and saying, Lord, I need more. I need you. Would you make this Christmas a time which changes our lives for all time? In that wonderful name we pray, Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel. Amen.